coins that you can't pronounce? Do you have rare coins that nobody can possibly value, or worse yet, rare coins from a sunken ship? Do you find out they really did make money on you? Are you getting called constantly by telemarketers to buy more or trade every day? Then most likely you've already lost a lot of money. Even if gold doubles or triples from here, you will still lose money. We can help. It's not too late to get your holdings into American products and still take advantage of major market moves. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592. No hassle, no hype, no bait and switch, and no complaints. After two decades of service, we're still here for you. Call 1-800-951-0592 or go to allamericangold.com and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
I'm here at the American News Network, and our regularly scheduled guest must have slept in, so who do we have?
This is Bill Fetter. Great to be with you, Dr. Stan.
Oh, it's good to have you. I was worried I was going to have to just start talking here. Anyway, our guest this morning, William Fetter, a good friend, a writer, has done a number of books which we've carried, and what are we going to be talking about this morning, Bill?
Well, a little bit of insight into what's going on in Libya and in the Middle East.
You go right ahead.
Well, the situation in Libya, we were told by the president and his administration that this was in response to a video. And we see that there has been lots of violence in the Middle East over the past several years. And there's this continual desire to force people in the rest of the world to give up their freedoms. Now, just to give a little background on Islam, when Islam conquers a people, the people they conquer are forbidden to insult them. That's one of the signs that you've surrendered. So when our government is trying to get people in America to give up their First Amendment rights, and our president in speech after speech, and Hillary Clinton buying advertisement in Pakistan saying we had nothing to do with this video, it is a effort to try to get us to surrender, surrender to Islam, to surrender to jihad. Now, it's interesting that most people in Libya do not have access to the internet. And, matter of fact, almost nobody in Benghazi has access to the internet. And so for the president and Hillary Clinton to go on national and international media and say this was a spontaneous riot in response to an internet video that had been up for almost a year, draws concern. And so now, as it is coming out that indeed this was not a response to a video, that this was a planned terrorist attack. And then the question is, did the president know about the terrorist attack? Well, more and more information is coming out that the ambassador to Libya knew that it was dangerous and kept asking for more help and was denied it, and that the security teams that were over there were actually withdrawn. And so it was almost like he was being set up for a crisis. And the fact that the president immediately wanted to blame it on people in America using their First Amendment rights draws great concern. One of the immediate responses that came out was by Zbigniew Brzezinski, and he was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor. And Zbigniew Brzezinski said that this person in California that did the YouTube video should not only be held liable for this ambassador's death, but that he should be tried for treason and conspiracy. So here is one of the mouthpieces for the globalists saying that this Christian that used his freedom should not only be liable for the death of a U.S. ambassador, but should be held guilty for treason and conspiracy. If that were to happen, then anybody that spoke out against Islam would be part of that conspiracy, which includes me. And I'm like, wait a second, this is not what happened. And so we're seeing one of these scenarios that has been played over and over again in history is creating a crisis and wanting to blame it on someone else. Now, having studied a lot of history, I can't help but see a similar scenario to 1955 in Turkey. You say, well, what happened in 1955 in Turkey? Well, there were about 100,000 Greek Christians still left in Constantinople. The name of the city was changed to Istanbul, but it had used to be an entirely Christian city. But the Muslims did not like the Christians there, and they would boycott their shops, and they would have students that would, you know, wanted to drive them out. And lo and behold, they had plotted a attempt to blow up the home of Ataturk, which was in Greece. Now, Ataturk is the founding father of modern-day Turkey. And so these fundamentalist jihadist Muslims wanted to blow up the home of their country's founder, Ataturk, but they wanted to blame it on the Christians. And then they were going to have this jihad whipped up to kill the Christians. Well, the home was never blown up. They never carried through, but that didn't stop them. They ran with the story and published it that the home of Ataturk had been blown up by these Christians. And so then they went into the Christian neighborhoods, blocked off their streets with trucks. The government just happened to have all these trucks with axes and picks and, you know, hammers and stuff lying in there. So they went out and smashed all the windows of the Christian stores. They drugged the Greek, Byzantine, Greek Orthodox priests out of their bed and ripped out their beards in the street. They destroyed 80 churches. They dug up the bones of the Christian dead and gave them to the dogs. 50,000 Greek Christians had to flee for their lives. And then when the dust settled and they found out, oh, Ataturk's house was never blown up, they didn't apologize and didn't invite the people back. And so we see that there is this desire to manipulate Muslims by wanting to say that there's some crises. Very similar to the Pope said something when he first was installed, and they killed a nun. And then there was some school teacher that had a teddy bear with a little boy wanted to name it Allah or some, or Muhammad. And so then they ended up rioting. And then there was even a case where the cream was swirled in the coffee, and the Muslims said it looked like one of their Muslim, you know, letters. And so then they rioted, and then they got offended by a movie, and then they killed, you know, the movie producer there in Holland. And it's just one crisis after another. But the answer that is keep being put forward is you have to stop offending us. And it's sort of like a bully on a playground that pushes all the other kids around. And if one of the other kids decides he's had enough and swings back, the bully says, see, teacher, he started it. And so we see that if we ever give up our First Amendment rights, it is, in effect, surrendering everything that all the founding fathers fought for, everything that they came over here and struggled for, the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the freedom of the press, all these freedoms. And so it's interesting.
We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom.
Mitt Romney was speaking for all Americans when he said this.
We don't have to settle for what we're going through. We don't have to settle for gasoline at $4. We don't have to settle for unemployment at a chronically high level. We don't have to settle for 47 million people on food stamps. We don't have to settle for 50% of kids coming out of college not able to get work. We don't have to settle for 23 million people struggling to find a good job.
Then Mitt Romney spoke in words that gave us hope for a better future.
If I become president, I'll get America working again. I will get us on track to a balanced budget. I'll make sure we can reform Medicare and Social Security to preserve them for coming generations. I'll get our incomes up. And by the way, I've done these things. I served as governor and showed I could get them done.
We simply can't afford to settle for four more years of Barack Obama.
I'm Mitt Romney. I'm running for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Romney for President, Incorporated.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan here, our guest this morning, William Federer. And William is just talking about this effort to certainly suppress any criticism of the Muslim faith. Go right ahead.
Well, in another instance is John Quincy Adams writes about how the Muslims in the Ottoman Empire were fighting Russia. And he couldn't get, the Muslim Sultan couldn't get his people motivated enough to fight. And so John Quincy Adams writes about how the Muslim Sultan made his last appeal of the Sultan was to the fanaticism of his people, to the protection of his prophet. So in other words, he did the same thing. He tried to stir this up and make this a religious war, to be able to mobilize the Muslims against the infidels. We see this over and over again in history. There's a bigger scenario, and that's our government's policy to pull the rug out from all of the secular dictators in the Middle East and help usher in the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, there's been three waves or three springs of Islamic expansion. The first Arab Spring started with Muhammad and the rightly guided caliphs. These are the generals that were under Muhammad. And it conquered from Arabia to Paris almost, the Battle of Tours. And so it was the largest political military empire in the world, the Umayyad Muslim Empire. And then it moved its headquarters from Damascus to Baghdad. And but then there was a second spring, and it was Turkish. And the Turks converted to Islam and invaded into the Holy Land, into the Byzantine Empire. And we in the West responded to the Greeks' cry for help and sent the Crusades. They conquered all of the Mediterranean. They had the different Muslim. Dragut Reis was the Muslim admiral for most of the 1500s. He controlled the Mediterranean Sea. Then they invaded into Eastern Europe, surrounded Vienna twice. And so that was the second spring, the second Arab spring, so to speak, Turkish in this case. And then it was the Turks finally lost their empire after World War I. And so the Muslim world was ruled by these dictators who were trying to be like the West. We have to understand, the British Empire for two centuries was the largest empire in the world. The sun never set on the British Empire. They controlled all of India, which was 25% of the world. Of course, they had Hong Kong and Australia and Canada and British Guyana and different countries in Africa. And then America comes along and we win World War I and then World War II. And then, so the, from the Muslim perspective, the British American was the most powerful force in the world. And if they wanted to be blessed, they needed to be like us. And so after the fall of the Ottoman Empire, the Muslim countries were ruled by dictators. Now, they never had democracy in those countries, and they never will, because their underlying, you know, Precambrian layer, so to speak, is Islam, and Islam has no concept of equality. So, after World War I, the Ottoman Empire is dismantled, and these dictators in these Muslim countries wanted to distance themselves from their fundamentalist cousins. And so they dressed in business suits and sent their kids to Western universities, and they taught English in their countries. Sort of like the Shah of Iran, who was very, very pro-American. And now they were dictators. Again, there was no way to rule a people that had only been used to the force of the sword. That's the Muslim history. And then in 1928, there is a group that starts called the Muslim Brotherhood. And their goal is to stop trying to be like the West, stop trying to be satellites of the West, and to get back to conquering the world for Allah. And so the Muslim Brotherhood was started. They got a big shot in the arm in 1938 when oil was discovered in Saudi Arabia, and the West began to funnel money over there to finance this. And so 9 out of 10 mosques in America are financed by Saudi Arabia through ISNA. The number one publisher of Islamic textbooks is Saudi Arabia. That's where Mecca is, where the Hajj is. So once a year, or once in their lifetime, every Muslim is supposed to make a trip to Mecca. And since the more violent version of Islam controls it, they get infected by it, and they go back to the world. Well, the Muslim Brotherhood's goal is to reestablish the Ottoman Empire and then take over the world. And so in order to do that, they have to get rid of these secular dictators that are satellites of the West. Now, they may have been friends with the West, like the Shah, or at least they were afraid of the West, like maybe the king of Syria or Mubarak in Egypt. And we could bribe them under the table every now and then to make a treaty with Israel. But nevertheless, they were orbiting around us. Well, the Muslim Brotherhood's goal is to pull the rug out from underneath of these dictators and usher in the Muslim Brotherhood. Well, our foreign policy as America is helping to destabilize all of the countries in the Middle East and allowing the Muslim Brotherhood to take over. I tell people, whenever you introduce democracy into a Muslim country, it inevitably gets taken over by what I call the Black Panther Muslim Brotherhood. They institute Sharia law, which relegates women and non-Muslims to a second-class status. And you think, well, how come their experiment with democracy was different than ours? Well, again, they have Islam underlying their experiment of the people ruling themselves, and we had Judeo-Christian morality that taught that everyone was equal and made in the image of a creator, and that this creator wanted us to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There's no place in all of Islam that says do unto the infidel the way you want the infidel to do unto you. And so we, our foreign policy has been like President Obama calling Mubarak on the telephone saying, step down. And then here we are. It's coming out in numerous email reports that what was going on in Libya is that our government was helping to round up terrorists in Libya and taking a lot of military arms, American arms, that were misplaced or when in the course of us going in there, they got lost. Well, we were funneling, one report said, 40 million tons of military arms over to Syria and to help arm the Syrian rebels to overthrow the dictator in Syria. And so now dictators are dictators, and you know, we can't you know, claim that they're anything good, but nevertheless, they are better than the Muslim Brotherhood. And all you have to do is talk to the Christians in Egypt. Yes, they had it bad under Mubarak, but now they have it worse. and you talk to the Christians in Iraq, and yes, they had it bad under Saddam Hussein, but now they have it worse. And so, and we're, our government is totally abandoning these people. These minority Christians have no voice whatsoever. They're totally left to the mercy of the Muslim world. And our government is helping to make this happen. And so, what's happening in Libya is sort of an interesting scenario of a fast and furious gone wrong. Now, you say fast and furious, what's that? Well, that's where our government was supplying guns to the drug gangs along the Mexican border to try to stir up crises so that our president can say, gee, there's crisis along the border with American guns. We need to take away all the American guns. We need to regulate them, and so forth. And when it came out that this was happening, the U.S. Congress held Eric Holder, the U.S. Attorney General, in contempt of Congress. This has never happened before in American history. He should have been arrested and put in jail and tried, but President Obama used executive privilege to get him off the hook. So this is what's called fast and furious, and it's our government supplying guns to the bad guys. And so as it looks like, as more information comes out, that could be what exactly was happening in Libya, that our government through Libya was supplying military arms to the Syrians to overthrow their dictator. So it's a fascinating... I have been talking for a long time about October surprises and about how this is a strategy in election politics where you have some crises right before the election to change the tables. If it looks like you're losing, you do some crises. You know, strange as that seems, it goes all the way back to Greece, to Athens. Athens, from around 500 BC, they had a democracy in Athens. Most of the world was ruled by kings, but in Athens, the people got to rule themselves. It was called a democracy. But they had a rule in Athens that if anybody came close to becoming a king, 6,000 citizens could vote to ostracize that person. Ostracized means they were kicked out of town for 10 years, basically ending their career. And so Pericles was the leader of Athens, and he was getting more and more popular. He built the big Acropolis. He moved the treasury from the island of Delos and moved it into Athens. And then with all the money there, he couldn't help but take money out of it for his building projects. And rumor started going around that Pericles was thinking of being king. And they were thinking about maybe having a vote to ostracize him, which they had done to previous leaders. And so Pericles intentionally let relations with Sparta deteriorate to the point of war. And the war caused the people of Athens to say, okay, we need to have a strong leader in this time of war, so let's stop, you know, criticizing Pericles, and let's get behind him, you know, for the sake of our city's survival. And so that's what happened in Athens. Now, unfortunately for Pericles, the Athenians were better on sea, but the Spartans were better on land. And so as the Spartans came close to Athens, the people in the farms ran into the city, and it got overpacked, and disease broke out, and Pericles' sons died, and then he died, and then eventually the Spartans took over for a couple decades. But the idea of a leader wanting there to be some crises right before an election to take some heat off if it doesn't look like he's going to be reelected is something that, you know, Bill Clinton, when the Monica Lewinsky trials were going on, you know, he starts firing missiles into Serbia and Sudan and so forth. There's the one version of history, and then there's the other version of history. And we saw that this president, immediately after the crisis in Libya, gave his version. Oh, this was a YouTube video. And now it's coming out very, very clearly through the news that that was nothing more than a lie, that had nothing to do with this video, that it was the, as a matter of fact, the president and Hillary Clinton's continually apologizing for the video, saying they had nothing to do with it, was actually spreading news of the video to more and more Muslim world. So they were actually throwing sort of like a gas fire, and they were throwing water on it. They were helping it to spread. but now it's coming out that, no, indeed, the government did know about it. Several of the military leaders were requesting permission to go to the aid of the ambassador, and they were told to stand down. And now they're trying to figure out, well, who told them to stand down? And it goes all the way back to the White House. So to me, it's a miracle that the truth is beginning to come out.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with William Federer, right here at the American Institute.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
On March the 3rd, 2005, KHNC 1360 AM was granted a license by the Federal Communications Commission to serve the public interest as a public trustee until April the 1st, 2013. Our license will expire on April the 1st, 2013, and we must file an application for renewal with the FCC by December the 1st, 2012. When filed, a copy of this application will be available for public inspection during our regular business hours. It contains information concerning this station's performance during the last 8 years. Individuals who wish to advise the FCC of facts relating to our renewal application and to whether this station has operated in the public interest should file comments and petitions with the Commission by March the 1st, 2013. Further information concerning the FCC broadcast license renewal process is available at the studios of KHNC Radio, 2 South Parish, Johnstown, Colorado, or may be obtained from the FCC, Washington, D.C., 20554.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, Dr. Stan, my guest this morning, William Federer. And before we go on, William, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get your website, get your information, your articles? William, are you there?
Yes, yes. Well, another interesting thing that comes out is that in Islamic law, a Muslim cannot shoot another Muslim. So when the question went up to the White House, should the Marines, should our military personnel defend and fight off the Muslims who are attacking our ambassador there in Libya, the president would not give the order to fire against the Muslims. So that, again, this could be evidence that his affinity is with the Muslim world, and he didn't want to be held guilty of shooting, ordering the shooting against Muslims who are attacking the U.S. embassy. I remember when there were the Somali pirates, and there was the question of why did the president take so long to give the order to the Marines to shoot the pirates, the Muslim pirates. And when the order didn't come, the one Marine said that he saw, you know, had the shot and took it and knocked out the pirates and freed them, and it was a great thing. But then he got in trouble because he didn't have the order from the president to shoot the Muslims. And so we're beginning to see, and it's actually called Taqiyya, sacred lying, holy deceit. Noni Doish is an Egyptian who was raised Muslim, who converted to Christianity. I've spoken at several events around the country with her. Matter of fact, I've actually spoken in the U.S. Capitol at an event that was put on to explain Sharia law. And she saw the pictures of Obama's ring and makes it very clear that what was written, what is written on Obama's ring is Arabic that says there's one God but Allah, you know. And so this is the ring that Obama is pictured wearing when he was in college, and he just decided to make it his wedding ring. But again, it has a Muslim, there is no God but Allah written on his ring. But his affinity is clearly with the Muslim world, hosting in the White House the iftar dinner, and there are reports that there are more and more Muslim Brotherhood connected people that are visiting the White House. I've talked to one in particular that had a meeting with Rashad Hussein, with an Indonesian leader, and when the Indonesian leader was talking about Islam, he was all glowing. But then when the Indonesian leader talked about how we needed to stop these fundamentalist Muslims and their violence, Rashad Hussein's facial expression fell, and his body language showed that he was disconnecting from the conversation. That and to this person that I know that was there, he thought that was quite strange, and it betrayed his affinity again was with the Muslim Brotherhood, with those that are wanting to have violence. And then Michelle Bachmann, who I know, has brought to the forefront, she's a congresswoman from Minnesota, that Hillary Clinton's right-hand person has seemingly dangerous connections with the Muslim Brotherhood. And when that came up, the president had his iftar dinner at the White House, and he defended this same person and praised her. So we see that there is something that's going on that most people in America don't know about. And my concern is that if the president does get in, then the curtain will be pulled back, and he won't have to hide it to try to position himself for re-election. And the trajectory that we're on, this may be the last election, the last free election that America might have. Am I thrilled with the other choice? Not necessarily, but when we see what is at stake, I truly believe that if Obama does get reelected, that America will transition from a republic to a dictatorship. And I've written about history. One of my books is called Changed Chains, The 6,000-Year Quest for Global Control. And I talk about Rome. Rome was a republic for 500 years. They had 600 senators. There was no king until finally Julius Caesar came along and made himself a dictator for life. And from that point on, the emperor owned the empire. And that's the, so it is possible for republics that have been around for hundreds of years to transition into dictatorships. And that's my concern. And that's sort of the gravitational pull of human nature. If I can segue just for a moment to talk about that book, I've spent about a year researching every civilization that's existed on planet Earth and found that the most common form of government by far is dictatorship. Now, they go by different names: pharaohs, Caesars, Kaisers, Sultans, Czars, Kings, Maharajas, Chinese emperors, Aztec Montezumas, King Kamehamehas in Hawaii. No matter where you go around the world in these 6,000 years of recorded human history, that power concentrates into the hands of one person. I believe it goes back to the fall in the garden and Cain killing Abel, and it's one king killing another one. And so it's sort of this selfishness that got into the human DNA that you put some babies in a crib, one of them will wind up taking the rattle from the others. And you put some kids on a playground, one of them will wind up being the bully hogging the ball. And you put some people in the woods, one of them winds up being the Indian chief. And you put some people in an inner city, one of them winds up being the gang leader. And so it's sort of the Lord of the Rings. Everybody wants that ring of power. And if you're friends with the king, you are more equal. If you are not friends with the king, you are less equal. And if you're an enemy of the king, you're dead. It's called treason. And so, again, most of world's history, equality was how close of an orbit can you get to this really important person, the king. What is rare in history is people attempting to rule themselves without a king. And the first well-recorded example of a nation being ruled without a king was Israel. When they came out of Egypt, where the Pharaoh owned everything, they go into the Promised Land, and there's all these boring chapters where they divide up the land. They do surveys and draw lots, and this tribe gets from the river to the sea, and Caleb's daughter gets off the donkey and asks her dad for the spring on the other side of the field, and he gives it to her. My mom's name is Tirzah, and the first mention of Tirzah in the Bible is she was a daughter of Zelophehad, this guy who had no sons. And so when Moses is dividing up the land, these girls go to Moses and said, "Don't we get land too? Is our dad's name going to be forgotten?" And Moses said, "Okay, you get land, just marry someone within your tribe."
Hold that thought, we'll be right back.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The Federal Communications Act of 1934, Equal Time Rule, subsection 315A, stipulates and specifies that U.S. radio and television broadcast stations must provide an equivalent opportunity to any opposing political candidate who requests it. This means, for example, that if a station gives 1 minute to a candidate on prime time, it must do the same for another candidate. Provision B requires that broadcasters offer the time to candidates at the same rate as their most favored advertisers.
If the IRS has turned your life upside down, Ameristar Tax Centers has a free, no-obligation consultation just for you. With proven experience, our former IRS agents are licensed to contact the IRS immediately for you, stop the collection activity, and get you instant help to relieve you from this burden. We guarantee not to charge you a penny unless we can help. So call for free information now.
800-519-6297. 800-519-6297. 800-519-6297.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and this morning, William Federer. William, before we go on, would you like to get your website out so people would know how to get in touch with you?
Oh, thanks. My website is AmericanMinute.com. That's AmericanMinute.com. And I have several books there. One is called What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, A History of Islam and the United States. And some of the stories that I shared were from that. A DVD called Islamic Conquest, Past and Present. Another DVD called Political Islam's War on the West. And then the last book mentioned, Change to Chains. And it's the 6,000-year quest for global control. But again, AmericanMinute.com is the website. And a toll-free number is 888-USA-WORD, 888-USA-WORD. USAWORD.
Okay, fine. Thanks. You go right ahead with the story.
Well, and the overview of the change to chains is that the norm, the tendency, the gravitational pull is to have power concentrate into the hands of one person who's the dictator. What's rare is people having the power separated and them making the decisions for their lives without a king. And Israel attempted that. Matter of fact, the first instance of private land ownership is Israel. And then also the first instance of equality is Israel. Everybody was equal before the law. Whether you're rich or poor, or stranger living amongst them, everybody had to follow the same law, which is different than Islam. Islam, the stranger amongst you, is a dhimmi, a second-class citizen that has no rights against a Muslim. And so we see that Israel, after 200 years, said, we don't like this. We want to be like all the other countries. We want a king. And Samuel cries all night long, and the Lord said, they did not reject you. They rejected me. And so God's perfect plan for Israel was to have everybody equal before the law, and for them to own private property and be blessed. And then I go through in my book how Athens tried to have a democracy ruled by the people rather than a king, but Alexander the Great's dad conquers them. Sort of an interesting story. Someone who lived during the Athenian democracy was Plato, and Plato said that democracy was chaos. He said everybody having a say on everything and all these little coalitions being formed. And he said it was so complicated. And he said that a city government would go through five stages. Plato said the first stage was rule of the capable. These are people that know how to run farms and businesses, and they just know how to run city government. They're just responsible. They're followed by what Plato called lovers of fame, people that love honor, that they don't have any experience running anything. They just want to be in front and get all the attention and have everybody say nice things about them. And so these lovers of fame get elected. Maybe like a Hollywood action figure who gets elected governor of California. You think, well, what did he run before he became the governor? Not even a village. He hadn't had experience running anything. He was just famous. And so you go from rule of the capable to rule of the famous. Now, the famous people, Plato said, they may be well-intentioned, but their natural human tendency is to selfishness. He called it avarice. But the temptation is to use your position to vote yourself favors and vote your family favors and vote your friends favors. And if you have one of your friends in trouble, you sort of you know, pull the strings and get them off the hook. And so this turns into an oligarchy, a rule of few. These are the insider clique. They do insider trading. They pass laws they don't have to follow. They funnel tax money to their, you know, cylinder supporters or whatever. They use their position to pad their nest. And so it goes from rule of the capable to rule of the famous to an oligarchy, a rule by an insider clique, a few. Well, the people finally get upset at the rule of the few, this insider clique, and they vote them out of office, and they set up a democracy. This is great. The people get to make their own decisions. But the people have no experience running anything. And there's all of the city's money sitting there in a big pot, and they all think, hey, I'd like some of that, and you'd like some of that. Why don't we just spread the wealth around? And so they take the money and spread the wealth around. And then when there's no money left in the pot, and they all are used to getting money, they're like, well, what do we do now? Well, let's go after the rich. The rich got money. They're hoarding it up. And so they take the money from the rich. And if there's any, you know, then any rich that had sense left town, and so there's no rich left. Now, when there's not enough money in the pot, they begin to fight amongst themselves. Well, don't take my pile, don't touch my stash, and they do a tug of war, and it starts getting into chaos and confusion and anarchy. And finally, they start saying, can't somebody come along and fix this mess? And somebody comes along and says, I'll fix this mess. Just give me your rights, your freedom, your power, your money, your taxes. And at first, this person, Plato describes, is all smiles. And he's promising everything to everybody. And so they begin to give him their power because he says he's going to fix it. And then he begins to consolidate power. And then any of those that speak out against him, he falsely accuses and brings them in and kills them. And now people are sort of afraid of this guy. And then he ends up turning into a dictator. And Plato said that he stands in the chariot of state holding the reins of power, and the protector turns into the tyrant. And so Plato says that democracy without virtue and self-control always ends in chaos and anarchy, out of which a tyrant arises. And so we see that Plato's five stages, rule of the capable, rule of the famous, an insider clique, an oligarchy, and then a democracy, and then a tyranny, a tyrant. And Plato said the best you can hope for is a nice tyrant. He called him a philosopher king. And he said, well, this philosopher king will take the children from away from the parents and bring them into the city and brainwash them and teach them his doctrines. He called them noble lies. It's okay for this philosopher king, this tyrant, to teach the people lies, the kids lies, because the lies help him to stay in power. And because he knows how to run things, it's okay for him to stay in power.
And that's just where we are today, ladies and gentlemen. All in the name of fighting terrorism, all power to the government. Bill, God bless. Thanks very much. Talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrom for the Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of the listeners who've supported us throughout the years and help keep the radio stations going. I've had the chance to meet many of you face-to-face and enjoyed every minute of it. For two decades, I've worked hard to keep our service fast and our prices low, and will strive to keep going for another two. Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com have no commission salespeople, no free reports, and no complaints. Nobody here will call you when you sit down for dinner. There really is a difference. Call 1-800-951-0592 and find out for yourself. We look forward to serving you with years of experience. We know what we are doing and will make recommendations based on your personal situation. Call 1-800-951-0592 and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herbs.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed the discourse this morning, and especially the discussion of Plato and how he talked about how, of course, you always ended up in a dictatorship in the name of helping the people, and that's what's happening in America. The war on terrorism is as phony as a $3 bill. There is no threat of terrorism in America. Basically, anybody could come across the border with a knapsack full of explosives and start setting off explosions in our malls, at our football games, at our basketball games, kill a lot of Americans. Why aren't these terrible Muslims doing it? Because the war on terrorism was all contrived. Israel recently released 1,027 convicted terrorists to get back one soldier. Why? Because if you don't release the terrorists, you're not going to have a terrorism. And, of course, they're doing everything they can to get the Muslims to hate the Americans and get the Americans to hate the Muslims. First of all, so we can have a war with the Muslim world, and that, of course, is what be the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39, but even more so they can get us to hate the Muslims and basically to discriminate against Muslims. This is exactly what they did during World War II with the Germans. And of course, we arrested a lot of Germans and Japanese during that time and put them in concentration camps. They were the enemy, we were told. And yet, of course, this whole thing was being financed by our banks and our corporations who were building the weapons for the Nazis all during World War II. And certainly, if you want to get the background of that, the books, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Sutton, we have that. America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus, and John had a security clearance three levels above top secret. His book, America's Nazi Secret, his book, The Secret War Against the Jews, are available from Radio Liberty. And my 4-CD set of interviews with John, available, is called The War Against the Jews. You need to have this information to understand the past so you can understand the future. We're being set up for a war with the Muslim world. And, of course, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And who do you think has financed the overthrow of the Egyptian government, of the Tunisian government, of the Libyan government? Who's financing the terrorists over there in Syria today? Why, you are, ladies and gentlemen. The CIA is behind the whole thing. Go up on the Internet. You can check it out. There's a lot of misinformation up there, but you can also get the truth there. The truth that you will not get elsewhere. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we are being manipulated by powerful and evil forces. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get my talk on the dark secret, on the forbidden secret. But most of all, I think to help you really see what's going on, Agenda 21, the covert plan, which of course tries to bring together all of the various element of what is taking place today. That's Agenda 21, the covert plan. So we ask you, of course, to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and ministers, but understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the survival of Christian civilization. And who is opposing Christian civilization? Your government. That's why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools and morality out of our schools and told our kids, do whatever you want to. That's what you want to do. That's why we start teaching them how wonderful homosexuality is in kindergarten. That's why we installed governments under Sharia law in both Afghanistan and Sydney, Iraq, so that they could persecute the Christians over there under the full support of the invisible government that runs America. So tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 through 3.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article